The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The good news of salvation. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. While there are many examples in the Bible and in our own lives of holy families, our readings today provide us with two examples of holy families that we can look to for models for our own families. In today's first reading, we hear about Hannah dedicating her son Samuel to God. If we go back to the very beginning of Samuel's story, we learn that Hannah was childless into her old age. She is so distraught that she does not want to eat, and even her husband does not understand her sufferings. Every year, she and her husband make a trip to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to God. On this particular visit, Hannah fervently prays to God while moving her lips, but does not speak aloud, which is misunderstood by the priest Eli, who thinks that she is drunk. In ancient Israel, all prayer, communal and individual, was said aloud. So Hannah's silent prayer with moving lips is easily misinterpreted. Yet we can see Hannah's strong belief in and relationship with God, and that she trusts that God can hear and respond to her silent prayer. After her prayer, Hannah is able to eat and drink and no longer weeps. We do not know how long she waits for God's answer to her prayer. It happens immediately after in the story, although it actually may have been months or years later. We do know that God answers her prayer for a son and that Hannah keeps her promise to consecrate Samuel to God once he is weaned, which would have been around age 3. This is a great sacrifice on Hannah's part, who wants a son so badly that she is also willing to give him up to God's service at such a young age. Hannah does not know at the time that not only did God answer her prayer to be a mother, God is also fulfilling Israel's need for a prophet who would bring God's words to the people. This story takes place about 1,000 years before John the Baptist's and Jesus' birth, yet they have many parallels. Elizabeth's conception of John the Baptist in old age, which we heard about on the fourth week of Advent, mirrors that of Hannah's experience. She too had been barren into old age until God granted her a son. And like Samuel's role as a prophet, John the Baptist listens to and obeys God while he prepares the people for Jesus' coming. Turning now to today's gospel passage from Luke, it is the only narrative in the gospels that describes what Jesus is like as a child. Before this narrative, we hear about the presentation of Jesus in the temple as an infant. And after this, we hear about the beginning of his ministry at age 30. This childhood narrative occurs when Jesus is 12 years old, which is the age of maturity in ancient Israel, meaning that a person begins to take on the responsibilities of an adult Jew at this age. When Mary and Joseph and those traveling with them left Jerusalem after the Passover celebration there, They assume that Jesus is in the large group. There would have been such a large number of people traveling together for safety reasons. From Jerusalem back to Nazareth, which was about 65 miles, that would have taken several days to walk. When Mary and Joseph do discover that Jesus is not in the group, they return to Jerusalem to search for him anxiously until they find him in the temple. Jesus' choice to stay in Jerusalem comes from obedience to his heavenly Father, as he feels at home in the temple, in God's house. From this, we can see that Jesus knows Scripture well and is seeking a deeper understanding of them, and also likely seeking a deeper understanding of who he is as God's chosen one. However, since Jesus does not communicate his intention to remain in the temple with his earthly parents before they leave, and assumes that they would know he is in God's house, a misunderstanding between them occurs. Upon discovering that Jesus is not with the group, Mary and Joseph have a natural reaction of parents, experiencing anxiety and fear when they do not know where their child is. And likewise, the reprimand of Jesus is a natural parental response. Jesus' response to Mary's question of, "Why would you do this to us?" is a reminder to his parents that his true status and identity come from God. Luke also notes that Jesus is obedient to his earthly parents, the fifth commandment, and grows in both divine and human favor. Through hearing this story, we can see that they have taught Jesus how beloved he is as God's son and how to recognize and obey God's call. This narrative also tells us about Mary's faith journey as she treasures all these things in her heart, as she learns more about who Jesus is and his divine mission, and that Mary and Joseph practice patience as they navigate the challenges of raising Jesus. Another example of a holy family is presented in the book of Ruth. After she is widowed, Ruth chooses to accompany her mother-in-law Naomi, who was also a widow, to Naomi's hometown of Bethlehem, even though she is not familiar with the people or customs there. Though they are not related by blood and are not under any obligation to each other, Ruth shows a deep loyalty and care for Naomi in accompanying her on this long trip and in helping to provide for her once they arrive in Bethlehem. So what examples of living as a holy family do these families show us? Trust in God. Patience with God and each other. Loving and caring for each other, and the importance of communication. They remind us how we as members of holy families support and encourage each other, teach and live out our values, and grow in our faith together. We learn that a deep commitment to God's will helps us to grow in holiness. We are reminded of the importance of faith, love, and dedication in our family lives. We share these stories as well, because like us, the Holy Family learns through both sufferings and joys how to trust God and how to love each other. A favorite saying of mine is, "We're family, we help each other. Sometimes I need more help, and sometimes somebody else does. We know that another will be there for us and with us when we need it. And when there is a moment of miscommunication or misunderstanding, we have an opportunity to choose reconnection by compassionately listening to each other and extending and receiving forgiveness and grace. These times of reconnection deepen our understanding of each other and strengthen our relationship. We first learn about love, trust, patience, and faith in family. We come to know who we are in family, in growing physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually, and in learning about ourselves, our family members, and God. We practice giving and receiving forgiveness and mercy, showing grace and gentleness, and caring for one another. By supporting each other, we create an environment where every member can flourish and grow in love and faith. Small gestures and words of encouragement help us to see God at work in our lives and in the lives of those we love. Just as we build up our body's muscles through stretching and exercise followed by times of rest, we build up our spiritual muscles through daily practice and effort in times of rest. It's in both the extraordinary moments as well as those that seem to be ordinary, that we come to understand who we are as God's beloved. This also extends beyond those we are related to. We are all children of God, and thus we are also part of God's family and each other's. Our family includes those gathered with us today, our neighbors and friends, and the strangers we have yet to meet. So how do we receive others as members of our family in God? Because as we all know, living with others as a holy family is not an easy task. It requires the active, self-giving practice of love every day through the grace of God and with God's help. The letter to the Colossians reminds us to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, and over all these to put on love. And in the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul reminds us to let all that we do be done in love. Love is the foundation of a holy family and can be expressed in countless ways, from a smile to a hug to a heartfelt conversation. Speaking kindly and listening compassionately, celebrating each other's successes and offering support during tough times, acknowledging and giving thanks for the blessings in your family, and looking for ways that God is guiding and supporting you. Helping each other to learn and grow, reminding one another that they are beloved by God and part of God's family. We are all called by God to be a holy family, to live together in love and grace. Let us take a moment to pray as we contemplate what this means for each of us. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of our families, those near to us and those far away. We entrust our families to your loving care. Help us to see how you are at work within our families, even in difficult moments and trying times. Give us patience with each other, and fill our hearts with your love. Teach us how to deeply love you, love each other, and love ourselves, and how to build each other up. Instill in us a spirit of kindness and compassion. May our families and your wonderfully large family of all humanity and creation be a testament to your love and grace. And may we always seek to love all of your holy family members as you have loved us. Amen.